The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
And if you call, I will answer. And if you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, September the 22nd, it's time to go through listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. You can use either of those methods to contact with questions, comments, show criticisms. If you have a clarification, if you want to add something to the conversation, even if you're listening on demand, we're happy to hear from you. Talk back at issuesetc.org and the comment line 618-223-8382. Let's begin with some feedback on our interview with Dr. Jeff Barrows of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations about COVID vaccines and vaccine mandates.
Hi, John here from Detroit, Michigan, calling about two things. First of all, the segment with Dr. Jeff Barrows and his three philosophical justifications for getting vaccinated. That was a hard listen. I was like, why am I listening to Issues Etc. after I listen to that guy? I just don't get it. I think it's kind of philosophical gymnastics he's doing there on the fetal cell lines. And I guess if we run down the rabbit hole, a lot of things are using that, and we have to look into that more. But it's turning out that if you're vaccinated, you can still get the virus and you can still spread the virus. So I don't think the loving your neighbor argument works for it anymore, and we all have to follow our conscience on this one. But just when I'm very unhappy about that one, just like I was unhappy about Rod Dreher and the never-Trumpism of Terry Mattingly, who was standing in the way of the people trying to get us, by the way, Donald Trump, you bring in Uwe Simonetto, who has a great segment on his childhood and kind of all is made well again. But I'd love to see you have some Lutheran pastor or theologian on that really was critical of the vaccine and thought it was bad, because guess what? There are a lot of them out there. Thank you.
Well, okay, John, good point about the vaccine being less effective than promised. Now, remember, that's not a fault of the vaccine. The vaccine's just a vaccine. Vaccines don't make promises. Politicians and lawmakers and medical experts make promises, and they overpromised on the vaccine. I think everyone's realized that. No one has admitted it, but most everyone has realized that this is not a panacea, literally not a panacea for this particular virus. It does some good. But now, as to the ethical questions, when we have questions like this, we go to the authorities that we have visited with for decades now. We've had many conversations with people from the Christian Medical and Dental Associations on a variety of issues, and they are a trusted source of ethical reasoning, kind of the ethical guidance, along with, what was the other one, Jeff? The Charlotte Lozier Institute has done some of the work here too, and we go to them on a regular basis on all manner of ethical issues regarding life, and we've come to generally trust them. I think our listeners have come to generally trust them. So we weren't just like searching around for Dr. Jeff Barrows to give us some, as you said, philosophical gymnastics to somehow convince people to take the vaccine. This is the considered position of his organization. After having looked at all of the information that they think is relevant to this. So you don't have to agree with his ethical reasoning, but we've asked his ethical reasoning before, and it was only fair to ask on behalf of our listeners to ask for his ethical reasoning again. Now, if you ask for a Lutheran pastor who thinks the vaccine's bad, if you can give me a name of a Lutheran pastor who's willing to say publicly that the vaccine is, we can't speak to the medical issues because Lutheran pastors are only experts in Lutheran theology. They're not vaccine experts. But if they can make the thus saith the Lord case that to take this vaccine is a sin, if they're willing to make that point publicly, that's fine. You say that there are a lot of them out there who are willing to say that it's a sin. Fine. Give us a name of one of them. Now, I'll just say this. My first question will be to that pastor, have you told your congregation that it's a sin to take the vaccine? Because I guarantee you, John, if they won't tell their congregation, they are sure not going to say it here on the air. You might be disappointed. Where maybe privately they've said it's a sin. If they haven't said it to their congregation, then that's, I'm sorry, that's pastoral dereliction of duty. And are they willing to discipline their congregation members who have taken the vaccine? That's just called being consistent. Now, if you're looking for a Lutheran pastor to come on and say that all vaccines are somehow, there's a thus saith the Lord against all vaccines, I'd be very interested to hear that case. But again, first question will be, is this what you have taught and practiced in your own congregation? And if so, why not? Anything else, Jeff? Have I left anything out?
I'm just tired of COVID.
Oh, me too.
You've heard my solution. If you want more vaccines, let us sue Big Pharma, the FDA, the employers who could possibly force vaccines on their employees. Like I said, I don't know, a couple months ago, where's the disdain and distrust of Big Pharma? Big Pharma went from the Antichrist to the savior of the world. Just my thoughts.
No, I'm sick of COVID too. But this was going to happen sooner or later. And what I find remarkable, and I think John is being fair from his perspective, that he's not saying, I'm writing you guys off because you're not giving me what I want to hear about these vaccines. We are going to the, as I said before, we're going to the experts who have offered our listeners guidance on life issues for decades. Now, when it comes to the vaccines, there are a lot of people who disagree with them. But that's not going to stop us from saying, Dr. Barrows, we've trusted you before in your ethical reasoning and your medical expertise. We want our listeners to have the benefit of that again.
Tired of it. I'm just tired of it.
If someone would have told you a couple years ago that you would be fielding, this is only like the tip of the iceberg on the amount of email that Jeff has to read about these things. We sift through it because we want to have something that's representative. And I think John's comment was representative. If someone would have told you a couple of years ago that we would spend hours talking about a virus, hours talking about a vaccine, you would have said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. I know you, Jeff. You would have said, no, we're not going to do that. But then we do.
You know, here's what I would love to know. What percentage of the American population are completely anti-vax, any vaccines? And then that group, is it based on religious reasons, like the use of aborted fetal stem cells? That's what I'd like to know. But what percentage of the unvaccinated, COVID unvaccinated American population just don't want to be the guinea pigs? They know it was rushed. They know they have virtually no repercussion should something happen down the line.
Zero recourse.
I'd like to see some polling on the unvaccinated, but who's going to tell anybody nowadays that they're unvaccinated? You know, that's like saying you're voting for Donald Trump. Who's going to tell a pollster that they're unvaccinated? Nobody. I don't know many people who will. But I'd love to know. I mean, it's not irrational that somebody might come to the conclusion this thing was rushed. You can't disagree with that, right? It was rushed. That we didn't go through the typical FDA protocols. You still can't sue the FDA. You still can't sue Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer. And you can't sue your employer under this, what was it called? They called it the PrEP Act. It's not irrational for somebody to say, hey, I think I'm going to sit this one out for a little while and let other people be the guinea pigs. Is it? Is it really that irrational?
No. We should point out, you say that as a vaccinated person.
I am vaccinated. Right, you're vaccinated.
Right. But most of the people I know who are not getting the vaccine, and I know a fair number of them, are not getting it because they've already had COVID. They got COVID before the vaccines were available. And they're like, I'm good. I'm all right. I kind of trust my body to have fought it off and then to have mounted a defense so that, and I think added to that maybe be these questions about, you know, why do I need to? I'll put it this way. If you're not getting the vaccine or all vaccines because of something you read on the internet, that's a bad reason. The internet is not a trustworthy source of information. Okay? It isn't. Can you find trustworthy information on the internet? Of course you can. But if you're just reading some dude or watching some YouTube channel about vaccines, you're not getting good information, not getting complete information. This one doctor says. Yeah, this one doctor says. You can find a doctor to say anything. Some doctors are crazy. What I trust a little bit more are when we see healthcare professionals who are saying, you know, I'm not going to get this vaccine because I've had the disease. I work around the disease. I work in the healthcare and I know a little something about my body's defensive system and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take my chances. Those are the people I want to talk to.
Well, what about the healthcare workers before the vaccine put their lives on the lines without being vaccinated? For what? For, you know, almost a year? And now they're told they have to be vaccinated? I mean, I'm just saying,
right.
Can't you see why there might be whatever the, was it 80 million? How many million, how many is President Biden say?
He said it was 88 million people.
88 million that haven't been vaccinated. Can you kind of see why that number is what it is? I'm just saying it's, as a vaccinated person, I'm just saying it's not irrational why that figure could be so high.
Right. I have said before that I'm a mask agnostic and I'm a vaccine agnostic because I don't know. But I want to do what I think is reasonable and best for myself and my family. And at the time, no one was saying you have to go do this. It was simply they are available. They're free. We want you to do this. It's good public policy that we do this. And I'm one of those guys who, at least in my younger days, would go for a flu shot every year. And I thought, okay, I'll just do it. It's not great imposition. I don't know what would happen if they would have tried to do vaccine mandates from the very beginning. I think you'd see a lot more people saying no.
Absolutely.
Than now.
Absolutely.
A lot of people who just said, I'll go get my vaccine. Okay, whatever. And then had they just tried the mandates earlier, I think you'd see a lot more people who are just saying absolutely not.
Let's move on. Maryland, Kansas.
Can't we talk about COVID just a little bit more?
No. No. Is it niet? What's the German word? I'm
not
going to German. Nine. No. After coming out of that UVA interview, I'm in German mode here. Speaking of that, Lord Feichtinger went to Italian Fest, remember last week, and he was excited about not getting a glass of Chianti and some pasta. He wanted to get, he was looking forward to a beer and bratwurst. How did that go?
Let me just say that I think there was a wine garden somewhere. So Chianti probably was readily available, but by far the vast majority of the adults having an adult beverage were drinking beer. So,
well, the Italians drink beer. I'm just saying they're known for their Chianti.
Right. Okay.
I mean, if you've ever been to Italy,
I have. Wait a minute. I have. And
they drink Chianti like morning, midday, and evening. It's probably why they're so relaxed.
And as you and I discussed earlier,
it's also probably why their civilization hasn't advanced since the Roman Empire.
Nothing wrong with that.
As you and I discussed earlier, we talked, I said bratwurst, and I had some kind of Italian sausage, you know, with some kind of marinara on a bun and some cheese. It was really good. But, I mean, you know, coming off that conversation, I couldn't believe how many folks were selling bratwurst or just things that had no connection to Italy. I mean, funnel cakes, corn dogs.
It's Collinsville.
Well, I think at a festival type thing like that where someone, you know, rents a space and they're going to put a thing to sell food in to make some money. They're gonna, you know, they're gonna sell lemonade. They're gonna whatever they can to make money, and that's all these folks are doing. It was a good time, fun time.
Or they just weren't even trying.
So lots of listeners. Everybody come up, shook my hand, said thanks for telling us about the Italian Fest.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. Thanks for that, Craig. I've been wondering all week how Italian Fest went with Craig, a beer, and bratwurst. Maryland, Kansas. Does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod / Lutheran Public Radio take sides politically now? I could not listen to the Molly Hemingway podcast about the last election stolen. Can we not accept judicial ruling that neglected that opinion? Recent presidential elections have offered few good choices, but I am grateful for the privilege to vote, and I prefer LCMS / LPR stay out of politics. I cannot support LPR or share LPR as long as it does. Thanks for the feedback, Marilyn.
Marilyn, first of all, we're not the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I am a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, but this organization has no affiliation beyond some advertising relationships with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we're not the LCMS. Number two, the interview with Molly was not about the last election. It was about, I believe, bravery in a woke world. She had received a very prestigious award, and she had delivered a speech, and it was published in The Federalist. So we were talking to her about what she said in that speech about courage in the face of a woke world. So the conversation didn't have anything to do with the election. She does have a forthcoming book. I believe it's out in the end of this year, if I'm not mistaken. It's called Rigged. What's the subtitle of the book? It's a pretty carefully worded subtitle there that she has. It is about the last election, but she does not allege this kind of widespread conspiracy of voter fraud state by state. She does say there is certainly some voter fraud. There always is in a nationwide election. I have one word for you, Chicago. So there always is some voter fraud, but she doesn't. It is not a book based upon a theory about some sort of widespread conspiracy of voter fraud. It's about
how the media. So she's not just saying this is the subtitle.
She holds the media accountable, first of all.
Big tech and the Democrats seized our elections. So it's like this perfect storm of all three.
Right. And so she's talking about what was happening in social media during that election cycle and kind of chronicling it. So there's no big conspiracy, grand conspiracy theory. Our conversation with her was not about the election. I do encourage you to go back and listen to that conversation because it was an excellent conversation about courage in a woke world. So your reasons for not wanting to listen to or support Lutheran Public Radio or issues, et cetera, don't exist because we're not the LCMS. It was not a conversation about the election. And her book really doesn't take a political stand on the elections as much as it says, this is what the social media, the media, and the Democratic Party were doing during that election cycle.
And I'm not talking about Maryland here, but this, are we taking political sides now? LCMS / LPR should stay out of politics. Well, let me ask you this. Should the church have not spoken louder when Nazi fascism rose to power? I mean, hasn't history shown that was a mistake? Wouldn't you, if it got to that point where Hitler disbands the Senate, wouldn't you want the church? I just don't buy the stay out of politics because there's a tipping point where you say my pastor should have said something because now there's no turning back, but never said anything about Adolf Hitler. And I'm not talking to Marilyn here. I'm just talking about it's so easy to say the church should stay out of politics. What do you mean by that?
I completely disagree. The church has to confess all of God's word all the time. And where there is a thus saith the Lord, the church needs to say it in the pulpit, in the Bible class, on the public square. That's part of our confession of faith. We don't get to pick and choose which part of God's word we will defend and which part we won't, or which part we will confess and which part we won't. Is the world going to look at it and say, you're being political with God's word? Sure they will, but we're not. We're confessing God's word. Okay, we've had people criticize our pro-life stance in the past, saying you guys are getting into politics. It's not politics. It's confessing the truth of God's word. Now, if I were to stand up and say, here's the tax policy, or this is what we ought to do on climate change or on any other matters where God's word does not speak, then I would be getting into politics. So Marilyn, thank you very much. I would strongly encourage you go back to listen to that interview with Molly Hemingway on Courage in a Woke World. Stay tuned.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with Tradition of the Elders, Korban, What Defiles, the Syrophoenician Woman, and Healing of the Deaf Mute. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Your funeral is the last opportunity to make your confession, your final confession from the grave, as it were. In your funeral, you confess before the world what you believe and in whom you trust, Christ and Him crucified. The September issue of the Luther Witness will help you think through this final confession of yours. It will help you think through the funeral service, funeral arrangements, hymns, and more. To purchase your copy of the Luther Witness, visit cph.org/witness. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Casey writes, sometimes I lose the email of the announcement of the weekly bulletin paragraph on what's coming up for Issues Etc. We send out an email every week to put in your church bulletin this week on Issues Etc. and how people can listen. And if you want to get on that list, just go to issuesetc.org, look for the red icon, Issues Etc. Journal/Weekly Church Bulletin Blurb, click that box, and you'll get on that email list. But Casey says, sometimes he loses that email. It would be helpful if the announcement on your website is up to date. Thank you.
And I think it is up to date.
Yeah, but he was right. We didn't do it since 8:31 was when we updated on the website.
Oh,
yeah,
because I know I got it today.
That's why I made sure. Yeah, made sure we did it today.
All right,
but yeah, we need to do that. My explanation is Todd has been involved in local community theater for the past month, and he operates the website, so things can fall.
So you just blame it on me.
It falls through the cracks.
Were you sending me?
Yeah, I said. Yeah, I should. I mean, did I miss a week? Maybe, but 8:31 is missing several weeks.
Yeah,
yeah. So One or both of us dropped the ball. We apologize. We'll get the update. And this week it is up there under what issuesetc.org/support/promote.
It's on the support page
or something.
Yeah.
All right. This comes from Kenneth. I'm a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod member that left the Baptist Church many years ago. I appreciate and understand the respect and attention to the altar because of our confession of the real presence of Christ. However, it has always made me a tad uncomfortable when the pastor and elders turn and bow at mid-altar and the general attitude of the sanctuary. Your recent episode on sacred space I found interesting, and it made me reflect on our practices. My question is, where is the line where this can be seen or misunderstood as idolatry or even a recapitulation of the Old Testament temple system? The church is the temple of God, not the building. For example, we would frown on someone wearing a hat, that person being the very temple of God in the sanctuary, and even though sacred space has its place, is that not a mixed message? I hope you could address your thoughts in listener email. Thank you for your work. It is awesome, concludes Kenneth.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, you're asking about the bowing that is done toward the altar at several places in the service. First, I'll ask answer your second question first, where it could be, there's no gesture, no activity, no word that can be so precisely explained that people will not misunderstand it. So these things, as Pastor Bender has said, must be taught. We need to teach our people, why does the pastor do this? Bible class is a great time to do that. You can do it in the sermon as well, where if you are talking about the presence of Christ's body and blood there at the altar, then you explain why it is that everybody bows. Everybody bows. Everyone kneels. It is altogether appropriate to kneel in the presence of Christ. So the general practice in my tradition, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is people come to communion and they kneel at a rail. So they're kneeling there in the presence of Christ. Sometimes they kneel when they pray. They kneel when they confess their sins. Altogether good to bend the knee. Good practice for when Christ appears, and everyone's going to be doing it. The bow is a smaller form of kneeling. It's a mini kneel. You don't kneel, but you bow. So the bow is a way of acknowledging the presence of Christ. So sometimes that could be misunderstood. Some people will ask me, why do I genuflect after I receive the Lord's Supper? I say, so do you. You're on your knees when you receive the Lord's Supper, unless you have knee problems, and then you stand. So do you. I do it too. That's why it happens. It is a way of visually acknowledging that we are in the presence of the very Christ. We are in the presence of Christ's body and blood there in the Lord's Supper. And that is an altogether appropriate, I would even say, not just appropriate, of course it's optional because these things are not commanded, but it is a way of confessing what it is we actually believe is happening and who is here. That is why Christ is there. Now, there's also kind of attached to that a practice of kneeling toward the altar, even apart from the context of the Lord's Supper. And to me, that is simply maybe a discipline to get yourself in the habit of doing, like telling your wife you love her and things like that, so that you are in the discipline of doing this around the altar. You're acknowledging, in this case, not so much that this space contains Christ's body and blood at the present time, but that it is entirely set aside for the service of Christ's body and blood. So again, it's an appropriate thing. If you believe that Christ is there, then you go to your knees. And I guess Christians that don't believe that Christ is there don't acknowledge his presence. I've often said that American evangelicalism, the biggest problem with American evangelicalism is it will no longer kneel. And the things to which it does kneel are all the wrong things. We'll be right back. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion. This new devotional resource is written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Matt Richard. Minute Messages is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. A few more minutes of listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
Can you stick around a little bit after top of that? We got some great email we're not going to get to. Good. Craig, you good? No dance classes for the girls tonight? Good.
All right. I think I can stick around.
No community theater. It's over, right? No. It was Sunday. It's
My over. Involvement is over, yes.
Mark writes, great question. Who can and who can't perform baptism? Are there restrictions on where a baptism can be performed? Who is eligible and who isn't eligible to be baptized? Thanks, Mark in Fenton, Missouri.
Okay, those are three good questions. Who can and can't? Ordinarily, the church calls men to administer the sacraments and preach the word on behalf of all the lay people. So God gives the sacraments and the preaching of the word to the church, to every believer. But Christ has commanded that his office be filled with particular men who are called to do that function on behalf of the entire church. So ordinarily, pastors are to perform baptisms. Now, are there emergency situations in which a non-pastor, a Christian layman, would be called upon, again, out of necessity or emergency, to perform a baptism? Yes. And that baptism is perfectly good because it is not the man who performs it that makes the baptism, but it is in fact Christ's word and promise and command that makes the baptism. But ordinarily, the church does things, as St. Paul will say, decently and in good order. There are exceptions to that. There, just so you don't misunderstand, there is such a thing as an emergency baptism, someone who is dying and needs baptism. There's no such thing as an emergency Lord's Supper. And I would say that there is an emergency absolution. Someone desires the forgiveness of sins and confessing their sins, although we ordinarily leave that to the called and ordained servants of the word. If someone needs absolution, then the ordinary Christian can absolve them.
They wouldn't say, I as a called and ordained servant of the word.
No, you would simply say, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. You don't claim to be a pastor, and you're not made a pastor by doing such a thing, but you're filling in for the pastor if he's not available there. That's how I view emergency absolution or emergency baptism. You're filling in the pastor for the pastor because he can't be there. The other question is, are there any restrictions as to where it can be performed? No, but you do have to have water. There's no such thing as a dry baptism. And what was his third question there, Jeff? Who can be baptized?
Third question, who is eligible and who isn't eligible to be baptized?
Well, in a broad sense, every person is eligible to be baptized, but there are certain things that would a person who should not be baptized, and a person who is an obstinate confessing unbeliever living in rank unrepentance should not be baptized. We baptize children not because they are not sinners and not because they are not hostile to God. We are all born sinful and hostile to God. We baptize them based upon the promise of Christ. And at the behest and with the permission of their parents. So in that broad sense, everyone's eligible to be baptized, but you would not be baptizing someone who doesn't want to be baptized. There's no coercion in baptism, or someone who says, I refuse to confess the faith. Or if you ask them the question, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? And they said, no, I do not renounce them. Well, that person is not ready to be baptized. Are they in that broad sense eligible? Sure, but they're certainly not ready to be baptized. That's why those questions are asked of those who are able to give those answers for themselves. And when the child is too young to give an answer for themselves, the congregation answers on their behalf, because we want this person to be baptized. There's nothing to prevent such a person from being baptized. What's next there, Jeff?
Well, let's form affiliates, and we will break at 59:50 here shortly. So if you want to stay with us at the top of the hour, we'll break for station ID and then come right back with listener email and the issues, et cetera, comment line. Quick question. Kim says, how do I order Uwe Simonell's book, Urchin at War?
Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand. You're going to find there a list of recent shows. Any of the shows, I think it's a four-part series now with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, about him growing up in Nazi Germany and communist East Germany. Any of those shows, if you click on that particular show, there's a link to his book, an Amazon link to his book called
Urchin at War.
Urchin at War. And he would remind you that that's just the first of several of his memoirs. It's really an interesting read, a very interesting read. You want a kind of a child's perspective on what it was like living in that world that seems so far away from us now. I would highly recommend Urchin at War by Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand. Look for any of those conversations with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. We'll be right back. Love the way that you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Straight ahead, still more listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
I was supposed to give this to you, but I forgot to put it on your screen. Did you know that Ad Crucem produces Christian greeting cards for Christmas, Easter, baptisms, confirmations, birthdays, weddings, and more? Find out more at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. If people have ever gotten a Christmas or Easter card from Issues Etc., most likely it came from Ad Crucem, adcrucem.com.
It's kind of restful to hear you read the spots occasionally.
I realize how poorly they're written, and I blame you for stumbling. It's the guy writing them. No wonder you stumble. Bob, Mississippi. He's talking about our series with Pastor Peter Bender. An excellent series, by the way, on the theology of worship. He said at approximately 25 minutes on episode number 2571, Pastor Bender talks about the five ordinaries. You're going to explain some of these terms here for us, Todd. Are the nunc dimittis and the create in me a clean heart offertory ordinaries? Thanks for the question. Thanks for listening in Mississippi, Bob.
Yes, there are two alternate versions of, well, the nunc dimittis usually
comes. What's an ordinary?
An ordinary is the part of the service that remains the same regardless of season, festival, Sunday, whatever it is. They are the unchanging parts of the liturgy. So among them, the Creed, the Kyrie, the Nunc Dimittis, the Sanctus. There's one more that's not. Oh, the Gloria. Then there are the propers, and those are the parts of the historic liturgy that change from Sunday to Sunday. Among those would be the various readings. It would be the collect for the day, the psalm for the day, the introit for the day. Those things change with the Sunday, change with the seasons, and generally reflect whatever the gospel reading is proclaiming that day. So those are the two different kind of elements of the historic liturgy. The Nunc Dimittis is depending on where it's used. It's used in different services. Now, you had mentioned the Created Me a Clean Heart. That is that Psalm 51, which is usually called the offertory. It's a something that the congregation sings after the sermon that is intended to prepare us now to enter that next phase of the service, which is concluding with prayer and the beginning of the Lord's Supper. That changes all the time, and sometimes it doesn't even exist. The Nunc Dimittis, that is Simeon's song, if I'm not mistaken, it is one of the, it's one version of those things that do not change in the service. So that would come after the Lord's Supper. Now, Pastor Bender's great point was, look at these. These are just the things that don't change. We're not even talking about the scripture readings. We're not talking about those things. These things that are the framework, the structure of the historical liturgy, and have been for millennia, they're thoroughly biblical. Not just biblical in the sense that they agree with the Bible, they're taken from the Bible. They are actually quoting the Bible, or they're paraphrases of those things. So when people, he's trying to respond to people who are saying, look, the liturgy's man-made, and he says, it's not. Look at, it's the Bible.
Hello, my name is Sandy Carlson from Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm calling about the soundbite of the week and your desire to know how valuable that is to your listeners. I listen to the soundbite of the week every week. And there have been times when that I have actually called in and commented and voted, but I admit that I listen to the sound bites the next day, and then I don't listen to the comments or who won, because I want to hear the sound bites so that I can know which broadcast that I want to prioritize in my listening. And so I enjoy the sound bites. Not as much the contest or the voting by listeners as to who would win and be the soundbite of the week. So I'm with the people who say that yeah, the soundbites are great and we love the soundbites, and maybe just have a broadcast where that the soundbites are played, but then not so much who wins as soundbite of the week. Thank you so much for your programming. I listen to that, and I also listen to the issues, et cetera, comment and listener call-in program. That's one of my favorites. I really enjoy comments on what people ask and what people call in. That's one of my favorite programs. And I have a lot of other programs, too, that I really enjoy. Thank you so much for what you do. Have a great day. God bless.
All right, Sandy, thank you very much. She's something of an enigma. She's,
well, that makes sense to me.
But she's one of those people, I think she's not alone in that she listens to the sound bites to figure out, oh, I want to go back and listen to the entire interview. That's what part of the reason we do Soundbite of the Week. So I don't think she's alone in that at all. But what's enigmatic about her is that she likes mindless banter, apparently, as well.
Email and comment line.
Yeah,
and Soundbite of the Week, which are two of the least downloaded segments, features that we do. Yeah. Now, but there is an advantage, you see. She's saying, while the downloads might be down for issues, et cetera, Soundbite of the Week, because she listens, we post them as individual, basically individual podcasts, each soundbite number one, number two, number three. So you can listen to those without listening to the half hour issues, et cetera, Soundbite of the Week feature, right? So that could explain why the downloads are low, because maybe she's in the majority. She just listens to the sound bites to figure out which would increase downloads from an excerpt she heard that she would like to hear expanded on a previous podcast.
Well, you know, when we first stole this idea, I believe we stole it from the very early radio days of Laura Ingraham.
We stole her Friday's bump music.
That's true. And when we stole this idea from her, if I recall correctly, they wouldn't play them in advance. They would just, they might play them that day coming out as an actuality in their bump music, but they wouldn't play them like advance. And of course the podcasting didn't exist in those days. You just heard them cold when they played Soundbite of the Week. And then of course it was a lot more interactive at the time. Terrestrial radio was more interactive so that people would call in and vote for one of those. But There was none of this kind of priming the pump on those things.
I was considering a cowardly, passive-aggressive move towards Soundbite of the Week. Not doing it for 4 to 6 weeks. See if anybody noticed.
Well, I wouldn't call that passive-aggressive. I would just call it an experiment. You just experiment. Let's just see what happens.
Yes, but my sinful human nature knows it's a lot of work and a lot of effort. So I'm torn. I'm conflicted.
You want to be appreciated.
I'm in Romans 7. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Mark writes, I wore my issues, et cetera, my I have issues t-shirt the other day, and a few people commented that they do too. I showed them the back of the shirt. Each was a brief encounter, but maybe I'll have more time in the future to tell people more. Thank you for your ongoing service of truth and talk about truth relative to issues of the day via airwaves and interwebs, concludes Mark.
Well, thank you very much. And again, that's exactly how the I Have Issues t-shirt is intended to function. It's supposed to be the front where people wonder what your issues are, and then the back with the contact information for the radio program and the podcast.
Finally, another Mark. Mark writes, what an incredible opportunity that we have been given by listening to Dr. Simon Netto's recounting of his experiences living in Nazi Germany. Thank you. This is almost as good as once again listening to my own late parents' and grandparents' life stories. Dr. Simon Netto's stories bring history to life and make historical events very personal. I can't say this enough. What a treasure and opportunity we have. We should always look forward with an understanding of the past. That concept is frequently ignored, and the parallels of yesterday's events with today's cultural decline are shocking. Concerning today's, quote, culture, end quote, as the frequently quoted and paraphrased comment states, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. I get the sense we are currently living in the throes of that needless and foolishly repetitive cycle. A personal thank you to Dr. Simonetto for sharing your very personal experience. I would also like to say thank you to Issues Etc. for recording it. I remain in awe of your talent and skill in providing quality material, concludes Mark.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. And the credit there goes to Dr. Simonetto. He is getting it all down on paper. This, as we've said here, Dr. Simonetto he's probably approaching his 80s if he's not already crossed that threshold. And he's getting it all down. He knows his time is short. Sure, he knows his time is short. And I think he actually had a really close brush with COVID. And he's just getting it all down on paper. These memories, a remarkable memory this man has. And he is an excellent storyteller. And it does have a lot of applicability to our situation today. I highly recommend these conversations. We concluded today with Dr. Uwe Simonetto on growing up in Nazi Germany and communist East Germany. The human heart is wild and lawless, and since we have wild hearts, we love it when there is no authority over top of us. We love anarchy, and anarchy loves to see the world burn. This is why the Lord blesses societies with the gift of authority. We don't often see authority as a gift, but authority does more than just restrict things like stealing, destruction, and killing. It also maintains peace, and with peace, we receive protection and support for our life on earth. Authority truly is a gift. That's an excerpt from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Minute Messages, Gospel-Filled Devotions for Every Occasion by Dr. Matt Richard. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Minute Messages, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Thursday on Issues Etc., it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Roseborough. We'll discuss being a Lutheran vicar during the Cuban Revolution with Pastor David Disson, and we'll talk with Pastor Jonathan Connor about responding to today's woke worldview. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You're invited to Oktoberfest, featuring the Waterloo German Band, Friday night, September 24th, at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a traditional German buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $15. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more and purchase tickets by calling 618-633-2202. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Ernst Heating and Cooling, Alton Memorial Hospital, Valo Floor Coverings, and Seavers Equipment. Oktoberfest, Friday night, September 24th, at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, 618-633-2202.